everyone. I'm Jensine Bard, and welcome to Testimony, where truth is told, lives are changed, and hope is given. Revelation 12:11 tells us that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, a testimony of your story for His glory.
Tall, gangly, white-faced, and freckled, add buck teeth, thick glasses, and a heart to dance, only to be crushed by the jeers and taunts of others, including her teachers. This six-year-old, sensitive and hopeful child would soon believe the lie, "You're ugly, not worthy, not wanted." This, ladies and gentlemen, could easily be the story of any of us when faced with man's opinion of us instead of God's. Fast forward to today, this now internationally renowned actress, author, speaker, model, and Miss Florida beauty pageant winner for the Miss America pageant, as well as syndicated TV host and co-star of the iconic hit series Matlock, where her portrayal of the beautiful, blonde, and smart legal aide to the late Andy Griffith seemed just the right fit for this immensely popular show. But there's more. My next guest has something to say about what real beauty is, inside and out, and how she got there. Ladies and gentlemen, would you welcome to Testimony a great joy indeed, actress, speaker, and author of Beauty by the Book, Seeing Yourself as God Sees You, and her most recent, The Wonder of His Love, A Journey to the Heart of God, the ever-beautiful, in every way, please welcome Nancy Stafford. Nancy, welcome to Testimony.
Thank you, Jensine. It's such a joy to be with you. I appreciate it.
Well, it's great to have you, Nancy. We have a mutual friend in Fred Eichelman, a recent Testimony guest whose book, Faith, Family, and Film, you wrote the foreword to, as well as esteemed and beautiful sisters in Christ, Brenda Epperson Moore and Susan Weba, who graciously put us in touch for our interview today in promotion of your upcoming speaking engagement at their annual Ascend Women's Conference. Details at the end of our program. I thank them and you for being with us today.
Well, thank you.
For this segment in part one of our two-part conversation today, would you, Nancy, take our listeners back to that day and time when, as a child, hurtful words would hurt your heart and the ramifications of that would be felt for years to come. Nancy Stafford, please tell us your story.
You know, there is so much that we carry with us into our adulthood, and so much in the heart of a little child is embedded through the opinions of other people. What other people say or don't say, or just even a look, or how you're treated by other people. I happen to be a very sensitive child growing up, as many of your listeners are. But the problem was, the good news of sensitivity is that it made me all of my life incredibly empathetic and compassionate toward other people. I'm sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God, which is a great gift, but I was overly sensitive to the judgments that came at me from the outside world. And as I look back, I realize that, yes, I was gangly. I had buck teeth and huge Coke bottle-sized glasses. But most of it, honestly, was my own self-perception. And I'm really eager that listeners hear that, because I think it's important that the way we perceive ourselves is often not at all the truth. What we do, as a child especially, is we take into our hearts what other people have said. And we take it all the way into our adulthood, and it can affect every day of our lives, as it did me. I carried a warped self-perception, a deep-seated feeling of inadequacy all the way into my adulthood. And even through all of the success I had, or the affirmation from the world, the income that I was making from my physical self, it wasn't just my appearance I was teased about. I was a good kid. I was a good student. I was the nerd, the dork, the geek of my school. And we carry all that with us. And it's very difficult for us to begin to shift especially for us believers, it's so important for us to shift our perspective from seeing ourselves based on the opinions of other people or the tastes of the culture, and begin to really see ourselves as God sees us. And that is only reflected in the mirror of the Word of God, the mirror of His Word. And when that began to happen for me, as I'm embarrassed to say, but as a much older woman, it began to radically shift my thinking and radically change me and transform me. I still struggle today, but more than anything, my heart is that women understand the truth of how valued, how loved, how beautiful they are in God's eyes.
Amen and amen. And I noticed in reading part of your book that even though you shared with your family some of the hurtful things, your family was always very reassuring and loving. You grew up in a Christian home, so it's not that you didn't have godly, Christ-like influence, but there came a time when you fell away from God. Can you speak about that a little bit and how you restored your relationship with Christ and how, Nancy, He gave you the true self-esteem we all find in Christ?
I'd love to. Yes, I did grow up in a wonderful Christian home. I started my relationship, a very intimate relationship with Jesus, when I was 8 years old. And I loved going to church. I loved being involved in church. But being insecure and feelings of unworthiness and inadequacy that was just deeply embedded, I was very, very shy, but I began to get real confused by the time I got into high school. I took things too much to heart, took things personally, when a couple of the leaders and the elders in my church, and I know now, and I tell this story for a reason also for your listeners, I know that they had my best interest at heart. They were trying to help me. They saw something in me they were trying to bring out. But they would say things to me like, you know, Nancy, if you could be like Susie over there, Susie in your youth group, oh my gosh, she's here every Wednesday night, and your parents would be so proud of you. Or they'd point out another girl, you should be like Linda. Linda is a leader. Now, if you weren't so shy and you tried harder, you could be a leader. Well, here was the problem. I couldn't tell them that Susie and Linda were getting drunk after youth group, or Linda had just been meeting her boyfriend in the back of his car and now had just told me that she was terrified she might be pregnant. This, to me, was crazy, because all I knew is that I just wanted to be a girl after God's heart. I wanted to please Him in everything. Yet, here in church, the place I admired and loved and respected so much, even there, I didn't feel like I could be enough. And I didn't know how to talk about this. I was too immature to know how to articulate these feelings. So when I went off to college, 500 miles away from home, I walked away. So many of us who walk away from the Lord don't mean to do it because we're angry at God, but we're disappointed in God's people. That's a very common story. Mm-hmm. So I figured, you know, I can, God and I, Jesus and I will just be best buds. I don't have to be in fellowship. I don't have to go to church. I don't have to be accountable to anybody. Nothing's going to change. It'll be great. Well, as you can imagine, it didn't take long for me to start acting a whole lot more like Linda and Susie. And little by little by little, I drifted away from a significant spiritual relationship with Christ and began acting a whole lot like the world. And it was 15 years before I set foot inside another church again. But the crisis of faith that you're referring to was after I graduated from college, shed that old, what I thought was my old image, you know, of being the laughing stock of my entire school just because I was a nerd. I got thrown into a modeling and commercials career, not by my choice, but God orchestrated things because He had a plan. He had a purpose that had yet to be revealed to me, but He had to open the door and kick me through it in order for me to walk through it. It was never something I would have pursued because I was a journalism grad and I was working in journalism and PR.
How exactly did that happen, Nancy?
Well, I was at a very small boutique PR agency in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and happy as a clam, doing a lot of work and loving it. And I got a phone call from an agent in Miami. Miami is a very big market for commercials. And she was all out of breath. It was the funniest call. And she said, oh, I remembered you were Miss Florida last year. I said, yeah, I was. And she goes, oh, my gosh, I'm desperate. And I said, well, thanks for thinking of me. And she explained to me that the Screen Actors Guild, the actors union that I'm now proudly a part of, had gone on strike. So none of the local Miami-based, Florida-based actors, professionals, could work. And she had all of these ad agencies coming to from New York to Fort Lauderdale and Miami to shoot their big national commercials. I desperately need somebody who can walk and talk at the same time. I've got to put some people on tape. Can you just come audition? Just come audition. I got to fill a tape. I said, yeah, sure. So I auditioned for 5 big national commercials. I mean, Coke, Revlon, Pert Shampoo, X14 Mildew Spray, Lincoln Continental Town Car. And, Jensine, you're not going to believe it, but I got every one of them. I got all 5.
Wow.
And the only reason I got them was because none of the real professionals could work. And I wasn't competing against people who knew what they were doing. So God had a plan for me. And I did all these commercials. I loved it. I went back to my PR job, but little by little, I started doing more and more work on the side. I had a very freelancing kind of a job, so I could take the time. But when my modeling and commercials started occupying far more of my time and being far more pleasurable to me than work in the 9-to-5 PR world, I phased out of PR, did that for a year and a half in Florida until I pretty much risen to the top of all I could do at that time in the state of Florida. And that's what drew me to New York. I thought, all right, I've saved all my money. I'm not going to tell any of my clients that I'm in New York. I'm just going to go and I'm going to study. And I'm going to see if I can do this thing called acting. And I enrolled in a very fine acting conservatory in New York called Stella Adler. And I was in class for 8 hours a day and then going to the theater every night, seeing a million plays and just immersing myself in study, which is what I tend to do. And about 6 months later, I got another phone call from another agent who I did not know. And this one scared me a little. She had this gravelly, rough voice like this. She goes, is this Nancy Stafford? I said, yeah. She goes, well, this is Eileen Ford from Ford Model Agency.
Oh.
I got all these ad agencies and photographers, production companies calling me looking for you. Who are you? I've never even heard of you. You better get in here. So I came in and she looked at me and she said, oh my gosh, you're really old. I was 24 years old. She said, you're old, but I'm going to sign you because you'll make me a lot of money.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to internationally acclaimed actress, author, and speaker, Nancy Stafford. You can learn more about Nancy's work, ministry, and mission by visiting nancystafford.com and get inspired, get hope, and yes, get your tickets too at ascendwomen.org, a conference for remarkable women where you can hear Nancy and others up close and personal November 5, 2016. You'll be glad you did. Nancy, it has been an absolute joy having you share just a little of your amazing story, life struggles, and the faith you would need to overcome it all, and by doing so, become God's gracious and beautiful gift to us all. We look forward to hearing much, much more next week. God bless you.
Thank you, Jensine. Appreciate it.
Testimony is a global broadcast made possible by the generous contributions of our valued partners at Jensine Bard Ministries and you, our listening audience. Together, we are reaching souls for Christ, one testimony at a time. If you would like information on how you can support this broadcast with your tax-deductible gift, please visit us at jensinebard.com. That's one word, jensinebard.com. And join the conversation at our Facebook page, Testimony with Jensine Bard. Thank you for listening, and please join us again for Testimony. Last week, you heard the heart-wrenching, open, and transparent story of one woman's journey to faith in Jesus Christ and the battle for self-esteem that would only come from her Creator. A life she once deemed as ordinary would soon become extraordinary. Here to share the rest of her story in my two-part exclusive is internationally acclaimed actress of the iconic hit TV series Matlock, author, speaker, syndicated TV host, and so much more. An honor indeed, Nancy Stafford. Nancy, welcome back to Testimony.
Thank you, Jensine. Thank you for having me back.
Nancy, your first release, Beauty by the Book, Seeing Yourself as God Sees You, has been touted by Assist News as, quote, one of the most valuable Christian books to be published in decades, end quote. And your most recent, The Wonder of His Love, A Journey into the Heart of God. Nancy, would you finish the story of how you overcame life's challenges to truly understand the beauty that each of us have in Christ? And then let's segue into your current projects, your love for Israel, the women of the Middle East. Nancy Stafford, please tell us more.
Thank you. So I got hurled into a career in front of the camera from my very early beginnings of feeling inadequate, insecure, never worthy. And I ended up with a very, very successful career in New York. I was on top of the world. I was at the top of my game, a Ford model, doing a ton of commercials, doing a soap opera. And suddenly I had a crisis of faith that threw me into a tailspin. At 25 years old, I was diagnosed with a very severe skin cancer on my face that threatened to disfigure me. I'd been to several dermatologists. Nobody had ever seen anything like this before. They kept telling me it was nothing. When I moved to Los Angeles to do a show called St. Elsewhere, I thought, I've got to get this checked again. And a dermatologist in L.A. said, you are in surgery tomorrow because this has gone long undiagnosed. It's a tentacle cancer. It spreads through your face. And when he took my hands in his, he reached across the desk and he said, now, if I were you, I'd have a new career in mind because I can't promise what you're going to look like.
Wow.
So the surgery was a complete success. Fortunately, God's hand of grace and healing was upon me, and I looked fine except for a big scar on my face. But this threw me into a tailspin. I thought, if everything that I have built my little world on is based on me and the shell that I happen to live in and can be snatched away from me at a moment's notice, I need something substantial, unchanging. I need something supernatural. I need God. But I had begun to think that there was more than just Christianity. Surely there's got to be more. So I began a voracious search through all the world's religions. And for years, I was steeped in the New Age. And I read Rosicrucianism and Theosophy and Metaphysics. And I read the Quran and the Course in Miracles and the Bhagavad Gita. And I suddenly, then after years and years and years of this, still feeling inadequate, insecure, a lifelong search. It was a long, hard journey I was on. But I was on a beach in Hawaii. It's for another a story for another day when we have time. But I was shooting an episode of Magnum PI, and I was in my hotel room for 3 days on my own, and God appeared to me. God basically flooded that hotel room because the book I took with me happened to be a collection of Christian testimonies. And as I read their encounters with Jesus, that was what I wanted. That's what I needed. Wow. And I fell on my face for 3 days, sobbing in grief that I had missed him somehow. And then he flooded me in that hotel room with a love like I've never experienced before, with his arms outstretched, saying, you just come to me. I will clean you up. I will heal your wounds. I will forgive you. I will give you a new start. And he did. And that's what changed everything. And it began to change my thinking and my perception, which is really what all of us women especially struggle with. All of us do. You know, it's all about how we perceive our reality and their stories we tell ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
But we're the author of our life. It's not our circumstances or our past or what people say about us. So what I began to do, what the Lord began to show me, was that I was listening to the voices of my past. I was listening to my toxic thinking and hearing myself say, I don't have enough. I'm not good enough. I'll never. I can't. I have to work harder. I don't deserve it. And then little by little by little, as I immersed myself in the Word of God, it began to transform me. And he began to show me that I really am worth something, that I do have value and worth, because he says I do in his Word. And that what keeping myself in the Word of God and allowing Him to change me is what has transformed me and continues to transform me to this day. And that's the passion that motivates everything I do in my career and in my ministry. And I just want everyone to know the power and the depth of God's love, because it's the love of God that changes us.
Amen and amen. And I'm reminded of that scripture, Nancy, that says to be renewed by the Word of God and the renewing of our mind. In today's society, less than 4% are reading their Word today. So question, knowing your confidence is placed firmly in Christ, what do you say to the man or woman who struggles with self-esteem issues, gender identity, and abuses from a past they've had no control over? If they're not in their Word, Nancy, what is your answer to them?
I don't think there is one. I think we've got to hear God's words for ourselves. We have to allow His Word, His truth, to replace the lies that we believe. And see, you know this, Jensine, but a lot of people are not really fully aware that the lies that we believe, we operate under those things. And sometimes they don't even, the lies may not seem bad, but the lies could be, this is how I was born. This is my gender. I am meant to be this. That's a lie of the enemy. They may say, I can never amount to anything. God couldn't use someone like me with my past. Are you kidding me? Those are the lies we tell ourselves. So one of the things, if you don't want to just get into the Word and start reading the book from front to back, my suggestion is go to the concordance in the back. What are the things that you tend to be most affected by? If fear tends to be a big problem for you, if you are full of anxiety and fear and stress, then look up fear and read those scriptures that address fear. And here's my admonition to you. This is what I did for myself, and it changed me. Look up the passage. Commit it to memory. And every time that negative, toxic thought comes back to your mind, say, no, 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 I have the mind of Christ. That is not who I am. I am not full of fear. I have the mind of Christ, and perfect love has cast out fear because God lives within me. Repeat that back to yourself. We can train our mind to think differently, and we've got to begin thinking like God thinks to know how valuable we are. Our brains can be changed, and our thoughts can be changed. And we can be elevated, and we can begin to have God's thoughts about ourselves, about Himself, about the world, and about other people. And it'll be a radical change in your life.
Amen and amen. And to that specific point, you know, we're in a crisis situation in our country today with suicide among teens, the rape of our children and women in the streets, the threat of terror at our doorstep, the encroaching economic collapse of America as we know it. And people are wondering why and how. Well, the answer is clear, and you've just stated it, Nancy. ISIS, for example, they have an ideology of death, 1,400 years of indoctrination that tells them that if they kill us, the infidel, they will receive, falsely, their eternal reward. So what changes a Muslim man or woman? And I've had this conversation with experts in the field, Nancy, and I have a feeling you know quite a bit about this yourself, as you have a passion for the Muslim Middle East, women and men, and Israel. There is an answer, but it's not by flesh and human means. It's spiritual. Jesus is appearing to Muslims in dreams. They are being converted to Christ. Their minds are being renewed. Can you speak to this issue, how your mind was renewed and your hope for all of us today in Hollywood and around the world if we do?
Oh, boy, you have said a mouthful and such truth. It is really all about transforming our thinking, renewing our minds, and allowing Christ to do that in us. I think that's sort of the key. We think it's all going to be about what we have to do. That it seems like it's an impossible task to have a suicide bomber drop his vest, fall on his knees, give his heart to Christ. But as you pointed out, it is happening. It's happening all over the Middle East and North Africa and all of Europe. As the Lord Himself, the Father of Truth, is appearing to people, opening His arms to them, and saying, I am the way, the truth. I love you. Come to me. I can't explain really what happens in that moment, how I wish I knew, but there is a transaction in the spirit that happens, and as they begin to see what pure, true love is from God the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, it radically shifts something in their soul, and the enemy loses his grip. And again, back to that perfect love casts out fear. The enemy can have no part of us when our minds are settled and stayed on him. And so what we're finding, especially in the Middle East and especially through Sat7, which is one of the ministries I'm involved in, Christian Satellite Television, that's indigenous programming. Nationals in the region are presenting the gospel, creating the programming and presenting it. And we're finding that the entire Arab, Farsi-speaking Muslim population is watching Sat7 because it's a message of hope. We're drawn to hope, aren't we? We need hope. We're looking for it. And if we don't have hope, if we don't have truth, then we go to the vacuum is filled with hate. So my urging to your listeners would be to pray for your friends who are struggling with depression and suicide. Pray for the people of the Middle East. Pray for our nation that we would yet again turn our eyes to Christ and to find ourselves in his word so that we begin to see who it is he's actually created us to be and not be content to live out a life of violence, a life of crime, a life of death. And that's only found in the word of God. That's all we can do. That's how we are transformed. The Bible says so. We're renewed by the changing of our mind, transforming of our mind.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to internationally acclaimed actress, author, and speaker, Nancy Stafford. You can learn more about Nancy's work, ministry, and mission by visiting nancystafford.com and get inspired, get hope, and yes, get your tickets too at ascendwomen.org, where you can hear Nancy speak personally to those issues that we need to be set free from, to live from. Nancy, your life's work, ministry, and mission is clear: empowering, inspiring, motivating, and encouraging us all to seek the true beauty we all have through a relationship with Jesus Christ. You have done that, and beautifully so. We thank you. Can't wait to meet you, and God richly bless you.
Thank you so much, Jensen. God bless you.
Testimony is a global broadcast made possible by the generous contributions of our valued partners at Jensen Bard Ministries and you, our listening audience. Together, we are reaching souls for Christ, one testimony at a time. If you would like information on how you can support this broadcast with your tax-deductible gift, please visit us at jensenbard.com. That's one word, JensenBard.com. And join the conversation at our Facebook page, Testimony with Jensen Bard. Thank you for listening, and please join us again for Testimony.